Welcome to GovCast, connecting with federal IT's top decision makers. I'm Alexander Bolova, production lead at GovCIO Media and Research. With me today is staff writer researcher Jordan McDonald. Hi, Jordan.
Hi, Alex.
You had the opportunity to chat with VA CIO Kurt Delbene. How'd it go?
It was great. Kurt gave us sort of a rundown of VA's priorities for the year, talking about so many different topics from artificial intelligence to hiring to EHR modernization. The agency's got a lot on its plate for the year.
Yeah, and I know we've had Kurt Delbene appear on GovCast before and also at some of our events. So it's always good to hear updates from him. Before we jump into the interview, is there anything that you want to highlight for our listeners to pay special attention to?
Yeah, the VA is in a really good place coming into 2024. It's hiring a lot more people. I guess the after effects of the PACT Act has given the agency a lot more opportunity to provide coverage and care to veterans from all walks of life, from all situations. The agency has been able to provide more care than ever before.
Well, let's not keep our listeners waiting. Let's take a listen to your conversation with Kurt Delbene.
Hello, I'm Jordan McDonald, staff writer with GovCIO Media and Research, and today I'm joined by Kurt Delbene, CIO for the VA. Kurt, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, Kurt, I sort of just wanted to jump into it. We have, from what I understand, a very big slate of priorities coming up with the VA this year going into 2024. Off the bat, can I just ask you what some of those are? What is the agency focused on?
Well, thanks for asking. If I could take a second, it's all founded on the work we've been doing over the last year. And I think we have a lot to talk about just in terms of what we've accomplished. You know, when I arrived, I found an organization that was super strong to begin with. I think we kind of crystallized what the goal was for the organization, really being the best example of how IT should operate with incredible operational rigor and be the best example of that in the federal government. And I think we're doing a good job of getting there. There are a couple of things that I probably identify as exemplars of that. We get something like, some people don't realize the sheer volume of people coming to our front door. You get something like 13 million logins per month to va.gov. These are veterans that expect a digital experience, expect to be able to go there and say and figure out, you know, how do I renew my prescription? How do I find out the status or apply for benefits? And we've been super aggressive about making sure what are the key features that people need to be able to access in a digital form and how are we going to present those to users. We also have created a mobile experience, and we've got something like 2 million downloads of that, and it gets very high ratings in both the Apple side and the Android side in terms of the app stores. We're talking about 3.6 and above in terms of the ratings there. We've ranked number one in terms of comparing to our peers in federal government. The OMB, Office of Management and Budget, and the GSA both rate the IT organizations, and we have shown up relative to our peer groups, number one. So that kind of says across everything that we do, how are we doing in terms of really driving transformation? A few other things I'd flag. Obviously, security is really important, and I take it very, very seriously. One of the accomplishments we had over the last year was to get to 95% in terms of multi-factor authentication, in terms of the number of people accessing our resources that are verified to be who they say they are by at least two factors. And 100% of our critical systems are also achieving their access control reviews. And that's, you know, we've got over 1,000 systems in the VA. And to just be able to create a program that gets to all of those systems and drives a level of rigor around security is super important. We've also, a lot of people don't realize, we're talking a massive organization from the end user perspective. We have something like 700,000 devices that are connected to the network. And to get the satisfaction we've got in terms of people experiencing an end user device, computing device, those information worker devices is amazing. We've got over 80% satisfaction in terms of the American Consumer Satisfaction Index score. And, you know, I come from the commercial sector, and to get that kind of a rating in the commercial sector is really an accomplishment. So we're super proud of the service that we're providing to end users as well. And the volume's incredible. We've got something like 2.5 million help tech desk tickets that we've resolved. And 3/4 of those roughly are resolved within 24 hours. And so I, as I said, I first would like to spend some time kind of talking about really all the things that we accomplished over the past year. And we've really set a foundation for a very strong 24. If I think about what we need to do 24, the first thing is just continue the hard work we're doing. We've really set a goal to think differently about IT, from thinking about it as like we manage these systems, we make sure that they're, you know, the contractors are doing the work they should be doing. That's the old way of thinking about IT. IT is really about figuring out what are the products that you are delivering to your stakeholders, to your end users, and then how do you drive excellence in terms of operational uptime, in terms of delivering on the most important features? Do you drive towards a vision of what you're trying to accomplish? You know, like, do I have a vision for what digital healthcare looks like? And is the prioritization of what I'm doing, does it align to that vision? We're really driving that overall as kind of the North Star that we're heading towards. In terms of getting into your original question, though, there are some very specific things that we need to accomplish. The first one is continue to drive security across the systems. This is a massive IT organization. I think outside of DoD, it's probably the largest IT shop in the United States. It's the largest healthcare provider. It's the largest benefits shop as well. Combine those together, and you know, it's just a huge infrastructure, and we have to run it securely. And so we believe very firmly in terms of zero trust is in terms of our model of digital security. And so we're really pounding on that, making sure we have good rigor in all of our systems, that we're doing penetration testing, that we're taking the learnings and kind of wrapping them back into our security operations. We have a lot more work to do in VA.gov. One of the things we've had is, you know, when you get down to serving these many veterans in this kinds of volume, there are places where you have to be very, very precise in terms of error management, in terms of finding those places where something didn't go through. We had some hearings with the folks on the Hill saying, hey, there are these places where you had errors. And we are going back across the entirety of VA.gov to find those corner cases where there an error occurs, make sure we have great error reporting. We've had really great uptime, but we need to manage each and every case so that there's that incredible confidence that when somebody submits something to VA.gov, you know it got to the place that it needs to get to. And so we're being super, super aggressive there. And then the final thing I'd say is we have a ton of just particular programs that are going on that are really, really important and that are very massive. If you thought about these collectively, the amount of transformation going on in this organization, it's just a huge remit in and of itself. So we've got something called VA Health Connect, which is kind of the CRM that our front folks use to the healthcare system to say, okay, triage what's going on. Do I need an appointment? Do I need to go to telecare? What are the needs of these folks in terms of scheduling? What are the needs in terms of issues they have with their medicine? Make that first call that people make to a call center be a great experience. We have a brand new scheduling system that's going in to schedule appointments into this vast system. As you know, we're doing this electronic health records modernization, which is changing out the EHR across the entire organization, which is a huge effort. We're doing a transformation of our financial systems. And we also have been mandated by the White House, and we were excited about this, is to drive a vision around AI. AI, both in terms of execution of things like how do you bring AI into medicine, but also how do you make sure that the data that the veteran has with the VA is used with respect and is used in a secure way, in an ethical way, and that the algorithms, the AI algorithms that get created don't have biases in them, that they're effective, et cetera. And so we're really driving that AI vision and execution plan within the VA. But I've gone on long enough. I could go on a lot longer. There's just a lot going on in such a massive place as the VA.
Yeah, for sure. You mentioned that throughout, there's an expectation between veterans and the VA of delivering a good digital experience.
Absolutely.
There's a lot to talk about here, but I first want to go into hiring and how that is a critical part of delivering that experience, especially as we go into 2024.
It is. Yeah. So there's a few things I think are super important in terms of hiring. One, if we're making this transformation for how IT was thought of as, you know, we manage a bunch of contract relations to deliver services, to we are a vision-driven organization that defines what the North Star looks like, what the product roadmap looks like. We manage that product roadmap map in terms of effective delivery. That means we have to be a place where you can start your career in tech. And this will be the place that you'll want to start and get those that great foundational skills all the way up to, you know, I want to be running one of these big programs myself. And so what that means is, one, we have to make it an exciting place to work. That even comes down to we need to pay people appropriately. We, in this past year, we implemented something called the special salary rate, which because of the PACT Act law, we had the ability to look again at our what we're paying people compared to market, and making sure that our rates are competitive with what the market is. So you want the value proposition coming in to be great. You want to be able to provide them a training curriculum that kind of brings up their skills over time. And that gets matched as well with just a mission that is more, there's no comparison in terms of the quality of the mission, the contribution we're making to people's lives. And so that's part of the value proposition as well, of make this be a place where people are proud of the work that they're doing. And I think that's actually a transformation even beyond just OIT and VA. I think the secretary, the undersecretaries all recognize that moving forward, the digital experience and digital technologies are at the foundation of delivering on the mission of the VA and delivering on the care that the VA delivers to veterans. And so it can't just be that when they join the VA and OIT, they feel like they're in this island that's different from the rest of the VA. We want to have deep engagements with the businesses, quote unquote, to make sure that it's a back and forth of saying, like, here's our vision for what we think digital medicine looks like and digital health looks like. Now let's compare it with yours. We have the art of the possible. Let's compare that with what your priorities are. And we'll be a shared cross-functional team that's going to deliver on the mission of the VA. So it's all those things wrapped together into a value proposition, into a career path that's rewarding for individuals that choose to join us.
Mm-hmm. The value proposition, the career path. I think there's a perception with tech that because of the pay in government work, that it's not worth it. I'm sort of curious how you're working to change that perception of showing that, you know, there is something valuable here working with the VA. The special salary rate is applicable here, but what other steps are you taking to do that?
I think that's a big part of it. I think matching folks in terms of telework capabilities is another part of it. You know, having them be where they want to be, I think, is a key part of it. And so at the end of the day, they have to look at the salary that they'll receive at the VA and say, this helps me meet the needs that I have for my family, just as it would in the commercial sector as well. And then the second thing it's impossible to overemphasize is the sense of contribution that you make from being part of the VA and delivering on the mission of the VA. And I came from my entire career being in the commercial space. And I can tell you, you know, like I built a lot of versions of Office, and, you know, this is just another level of sense of pride and sense of accomplishment and sense of giving back because of the mission of supporting these folks who deserve, you know, they gave of themselves to defend us and to meet the mission that we have. Many of them were injured in the process, and we have a responsibility to care for them. And there are there's a bunch of folks who need our care. And so that whole value proposition, it's challenging to find that in the commercial space. And we offer that, you know, in gobs in the VA.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to pivot back to one of the other priorities that you mentioned at the start, EHR modernization. A lot of work was done last year towards meeting those goals. What work are we looking forward to doing this year in terms of reaching the EHR modernization goal set out for the VA?
That's a great question. So as many of you know, we took a step back last spring and said, we don't think we're on a trajectory to deliver the kind of experience that our clinicians and our veterans deserve and need within our medical centers, in our clinics, in our prescription or pharmacy centers as well, the entire system. And so we went on a pause of saying there's a certain set of criteria that we need the system to provide, that the system working with the individuals in these facilities needs to deliver in terms of the experience. And we've been spending the past, many months getting with Oracle Health, our partners, improving the experience in the 5 locations we've gone to. If you include clinics, that gets to be over 20 locations overall, increasing the quality of that experience for the clinician and for the veteran as well, to the point where we can go back to restarting deployments as well. We are close to doing the first deployment in North Chicago at a facility called FHCC. It's a facility that we share with the Navy. And that's a particularly challenging one because it is where DOD and the VA come together into a single facility. It shows the promise of a single healthcare system across DOD and VA, except for there's that melding of those procedures across them that makes it a challenging facility as well. When we did the pause, started the pause, we said we think FHCC or North Chicago or Lovell, as it's called, the particular facility, we can move forward with that, but we're not taking that for granted. We're setting very clear criteria, and the goal is for that site to go live next month, but we will make sure that when it goes live, it meets the criteria that we have for going live again. And so first thing on our agenda is making a success out of Lovell and FHCC, that facility, and then getting to the place where we feel like we've got that quality standard up that we can restart the rolling out of the EHR across the entire VA.
Mm-hmm. Can you walk me through some of the steps that would need to happen to go from the Chicago deployment being successful toward more rollouts in your facilities?
Sure. So it's a set of criteria that cross over the different parts of what a deployment means. And so there's a deep technical footprint. And we set, when we went into this process a couple of years ago, or several years ago rather, we only had a very small number of SLA agreements with Oracle, or at that point, Cerner. We have now expanded that to something like 26 technical criteria or SLAs that we have in terms of how they meet their standard of delivery. And we've been monitoring those over time. So they go from essentially uptime, which is what everybody expects to have in a contract, to incident free time, to the end user performance, and not just the end user performance at the mean, but at the 95th and the 99th percentile as well. So it's a very deep set of criteria to measure on the technical side, whether they're meeting the criteria or the readiness to go live again. And they've been making steady progress on that. The second thing that I think is important is on the technical side is as they deliver more functionality, they do it without causing hiccups along the way. We just went through a big release called Block 10. Their major releases are called these blocks. Block 9 had some issues and things that kind of lingered past when they deployed it. Block 10 has been much cleaner, and we see that as progress as well. So on the technical side, I think we're getting into a pretty good state between the criteria we're setting and how they actually deploy. We'd like to see a more rigorous testing. We're working with them on that so that things don't make it into production quite as often, but we think we're on a good trajectory. The next thing that's super important, though, is functionally. How the functionality matches against the physician's experience, the nurse's experience, the pharmacy technician's experience. And that's a place where they've gone through these sprints, and 4 of them, I believe, at last count, of saying, okay, the system has to change in these ways. The procedures have to change in these ways. We're going to set a timeline to actually get those delivered. And they're making progress there as well. There were some major improvements, for instance, in pharmacy workflows that went in, not everything we wanted in Block 10, but they're doing those last little bits right now as we speak. But all those things have to come up to speed as well. The third thing I would say is around training. Individuals that are going to use the system have to have deep training so that they're comfortable using it. And then the fourth thing I would say is just, do we do a great job in deployment so that when we roll it out, there are super users there that understand, you know, if somebody's having trouble, they can kind of jump in on it and solve the problems. All those places where you don't want any hiccups to happen when you actually go live. And so we're making sure that goes well as well. So if all those things come together, we're going to feel good about it. And then we're going to feel good about it because the end users are saying their lives have gotten better as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, finally, I wanted to pivot to the biggest hot topic issue of our world right now, artificial intelligence. Charles Worthington was recently appointed as the agency's new CAIO. I wanted to ask, how are you working with him towards building the VA's artificial intelligence infrastructure?
So Charles's part is one of the senior leaders of OIT. And so the work that he and his team do are integrally connected to the work that OIT does overall. And Charles was the natural person, Charles and his team, the natural place to have a central focus for AI efforts within the VA. That is not to say that all AI efforts will happen through Charles, but rather and through his team. Talented folks like Kimberly McManus and his team are kind of driving that effort across, you know, all the different functions within the VA. And so take just for example, VHA, they announced a tech sprint with industry to say, if our goal is to make our clinicians more productive so that they can help more veterans, what does that look like leveraging AI to do so? And so they're doing a tech sprint to say, you know, industry is finding, showing us and doing demos of what are the kinds of things they can do in real live kinds of situations, not live like we're presenting to users, but the real situation within VA locations. And so I'm actually super bullish about the opportunities, like for assisting the physician in terms of auto summarization in very noisy environments of what the what the encounter with the patient looked like and what the recommended course of treatment is. That is something that is very complicated to do, but there's a lot of folks in the commercial sector that are working with VHA, but working more generally on that scenario, because that will enable physicians and nurses and other healthcare professionals to focus on care more and less on summarizing to be able to put into an EHR. So that's an example of one particular scenario that we're very keen about that gets coordinated into an overall effort led by Charles and his team and Kimberly. But there are more, there's in the benefits space as well. How do you automate benefits determination such that we can decrease our backlog of benefits applications? There's this notion that is AI going to do it all for you from soup to nuts? And by the way, Bing, it's just going to be out there. It's more of a path that in particular in benefits where there's so many of the tasks that can be automated with things like machine learning. And then but at the end of the day, we think we're still going to have a human being for quite some time that's going to look at these things and say, yes, I agree with the recommendation that the machine learning gave me or the AI gave me in that particular case. So that's like, if you think about it, across all domains of the VA, they're individually figuring out what the applications of AI are that they're most promising for them. But then the thing you have to overlay on top of it is one, prioritization of all of these different scenarios, which will deliver the biggest bang for the buck. We live in a fiscally constrained environment. We have to make choices as to which ones to drive forward most aggressively. And then you have to have a governance on top of that, a governance approach that says, Have we done all the testing necessary to make sure that privacy is respected, that it has a high degree of efficacy, so it's, you know, better than its traditional algorithms that it's purporting to replace? And does it not have biases? All those things that we've talked about in industry that are critically important, we have to make sure that algorithms that we drive forward actually have that, you know, have that proven. And so working with our Data Governance Council, there's now an AI subgroup working on just those questions so that across the VA, we can have a standard process for how these things go from, you know, envisioning to pilot to actual production. And then the final thing I'd toss out there is in a place as vast as the VA, we just have to find all these applications of AI. We have to make sure that everybody knows that through the acquisitions process, we're asking a particular vendor, are you using AI or ML algorithms? And have they gone through the governance that we would put them through? Because over time, it's just going to be a piece of everything that we do as, you know, as an organization, as human beings. And we have to be able to make sure that we have those gates in place that say, yes, we know that those are being deployed in a safe manner and an effective manner across all the use cases.
You've answered all my questions and follow-ups with that one. So thank you for that. I do want to ask, you know, we've talked about a lot of different things, a lot of different priorities going for the VA into 24. What are some of the challenges that you're looking to tackle in terms of reaching these objectives in 2024?
There are, one of the things is just we have choices we have to make. And we're in a constrained fiscal environment. And we have been spending a couple of years getting super focused on making sure that every dollar that we spend is spent on our top priority. And one of the challenges we're going to have in this environment is making sure that we up our game even more precisely in terms of finding spend that we can afford not to spend and tightening our belt there so that we can make sure that the key things that we need to accomplish are actually funded. I will say, though, that it is a very challenging environment, particularly with continuing resolutions, where we're still operating against a 23 budget. There was a good recognition by OMB and by Congress that we need to increase our level of spending. But until we get to a 24 budget, we're actually not executing under that increased level of spending. So it's very tight right now. But we are making sure that we spend every dollar as if it's our own, to be quite frankly, because I think that, Frank, that is the motto that I tell my team. The second thing is continue to attract great people and paying them appropriately. I think we can up our game in particular on training. And, you know, I come from a world where there was this whole curricula that came from entry positions all the way up to more senior people. And I want to have that kind of a ladder or career ladder and career stage progressions be clear in the VA as well. I think we have challenges on a lot of different specific programs. You know, just take deployment of brand new scheduling systems. Scheduling is one of the most complicated things, systems that you can do because of all the nuances of the kinds of scheduling you can do. You know, I spent a ton of time working on Outlook and Schedule Plus before that. And it's a space I know intimately and deeply, but rolling out a complicated scheduling system is a challenging task. And that's a dozen such projects we're working on. The flip side is it makes everybody super excited about the work they're doing. I mean, each one of these programs has energized people working on it that are engaged with stakeholders saying, okay, what's the prioritization of features? Exactly how does that thing have to work? And to your listeners, this will feel very much like it does in the commercial sector. This is the bread and butter of what it means to be an engineer in the commercial sector. And that's kind of what we're bringing to the VA.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to see how the VA tackles all these issues coming into the year. Mr. Kurt Delbeny, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Thanks. I appreciate the time. It was great.
Thank you, Jordan. As I said before, it's always great to hear from Kurt Delbeny and get updates on what the VA is up to. Before we let our listeners go, are there any last highlights or takeaways that you want to leave them with?
Yeah, I would say definitely keep an eye on EHR modernization. The DoD and VHA just opened their joint facility together, and it's the first of hopefully many deployments. The agency is using it sort of as a bellwether to see how the modernization effort works there before expanding it to other facilities. So definitely something to keep an eye on, and something I'm definitely going to be keeping an eye on myself throughout the year.
All right. Well, listeners can definitely stay tuned on GovCast and across our coverage to keep up as well. Thank you, Jordan. Listeners can tune in next week for a brand new episode in our GovCIO Media and Research podcast feed. But until then, if you like what you heard, make sure you leave a review and a 5-star rating on the podcast platform of your choice. Thank you all for listening. I'm Alexander Bolova.
And I'm Jordan McDonald.
Thank you for listening. GovCast, along with HealthCast and CyberCast, is a production of GovCIO Media and Research. For more podcasts and to check out the other shows, head to govciomedia.com. Watch out for new episodes released every Tuesday and Wednesday across our shows. You can follow all of them on your favorite podcast platform. And if you like what you heard, make sure to let us know by leaving a review. And if you have any topics you think we should look into, contact us at newsletter@govcio.com.